The Wrath of Divine Love. Commentary for the February 1st, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson. By Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. When I was a child, I attended vacation Bible school at a local Baptist church. It did not last very long, as our parents were not church-going people, so I had no idea how to behave in a church environment. In short, we were little hellions compared to the children of the good church folk. After 2 days of attending, we were invited by the leaders not to return. My siblings and I lamented the loss of cookies and juice more than the fellowship. We knew we did not fit in. Nonetheless, two experiences I had at that Baptist Vacation Bible School became a foundation that blossomed into a deeper spiritual experience years later. Both were related to Bible classes. The first experience was a class with a colorful picture roll. The instructor flipped through the large pictures as she told the story of the paralyzed man whose friends brought him to Jesus for healing. The crowd was so great they could not get near Jesus, who was inside a nearby building. To get him to Jesus, they climbed up on the roof of the building, dug through the roof, and lowered the sick man down through the hole into the presence of Jesus. Though brought there by loyal friends, he was healed and was able to walk home on his own. The story resonated with me as I saw that Jesus really cared about people, and I saw it was possible to have friends that would do for a person what that paralytic's friends had done for him. I had no friends like that. I doubted even my siblings would do that for me. I had no idea how to have friends like that. But it set me thinking, even if I did not have the answers I needed. The second experience was of a different tone. In that class, the teacher shared the passage at the beginning of this commentary. The idea of setting someone's head afire is a very intense image, and I knew of enemies I had whom I would like to set aflame like that. It is ironic that the Holy Spirit would use such vivid imagery to reach a child who saw it as a way of getting back at his enemies. However, while I wanted to see them burn, I had no idea how to rain blessings into their lives to make that happen, since I had little myself. But again, this got tucked away in my mind to build upon later. Eventually, I learned other passages about turning the other cheek in Matthew 5, verse 39, and that vengeance belongs to God, not me, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. I began avoiding fights instead of picking them, but my enemies saw this as weakness and were not impressed by quotes of Bible verses. This only caused them to redouble their efforts to provoke a fight. I would have done the same before the Holy Spirit began to claim my heart. While religion permeated American society in the 1950s and early 1960s, most put on the cultural trappings of church attendance and dressed more formally when attending church or even going shopping. This was a time when people would even wear suits and dresses to fly on a commercial airline. But the moral messages of the Bible were often ignored. While I acknowledge the truths of what the ministry of Jesus taught, I saw in the activities of my associates and the adults they looked up to a different ethic that valued the use of force and lies to manipulate others. Segregation and brutal racism were the order of the day. I attended an all-white school district, and the black children attended a black school district. I did not know why it had to be that way. It just was. I did not meet a single black child until my senior year of high school, when one young black man enrolled in our high school. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 provided for the integration of public schools, but students typically were assigned schools based on where they live, and housing was not integrated until the Civil Rights Act of 1968. This may be why he enrolled in my school for the 1968-69 school year. Unlike Little Rock, Arkansas, the students in my school responded by electing him student body president. I did not know it then, but it was a sign that Washington State was moving to be a vanguard state for social justice and progressive policies. Over time, I learned that just as I experienced as a child, certain people see social justice and equality of opportunity for all as weaknesses. They prefer social Darwinism, even if it never benefits them personally. They look at the strong preying upon the weak, and rather than see the injustice, they think that one day they will be the strong person if they act the same way. They do not understand that that kind of power is held by so few hands that it is unlikely they will ever catch that prize. But people will believe it in it, no matter how unlikely. The sale of millions of dollars in lottery tickets shows how willing the people are to follow a carrot on a stick. It seems ironic that some of those who chase the ghost of a winning lottery ticket laugh at those who would believe in God because they believe the likelihood that he exists is too remote. Money seems more real, even if it is only dream money. When those dreams never materialize, we cling to them anyway. We are more apt to blame God for their failure than we are to accept personal responsibility. We suffer from our bad choices, and then we complain that God does not step in and miraculously heal our suffering, so he must not exist. And because we are hurting in our suffering, we will willingly hurt others who disagree with our point of view. 2,000 years ago, we did that to Jesus, nailing him to splintery wood to make our point, and then gloating as his life flowed out as a crimson stream from his body. We say that was those ignorant people back then. We are more enlightened, but we are not. Every time we sneer at one who would follow Jesus, we are there sneering at him on the cross. Every four-letter curse we would hurl at someone today, we are hurling at him, hanging on the cross in the darkness of Golgotha. Every needlessly hurtful thing we say or do is another drop of blood shed on that holy hill. We were never intended to be like this. Repeatedly, individuals have arisen that reveal all we could be toward one another, but they're usually shouted down by those whose only interest in life is selfishness and greed. Failing that, they murder those saints to silence their witness. They tell us they are only fools who believe in a God who does not exist, so it is better to rid humanity of their presence, and we will all be better off. But it is a lie. Despite all the blood that has been shed to silence compassion, empathy, and mercy, saints continue to rise to call out injustice, greed, and selfishness as beneath us. We are not defined by wealth or power, but by our characters, and most of us have metaphorical halos that have not been polished in a long time, perhaps never. It is true that most will reject the opportunity to change and will instead live miserable and short lives, having never realized their dreams. It does not have to be that way. A loving God still provides a way forward, but it can only happen if we believe He exists. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13. One does not make an instantaneous transition. My life is proof of that. I was not a hellion one week and a saint the next. In very many ways, I continue to learn more about spiritual growth, even in my 70s. I hope I get some things figured out soon. There's not much time left. But I'm glad I found my way into the right path decades ago as a child. I have cherished all the time walking with God, and even more, the times He carried me when I was not strong enough to walk. And the memories we share are like diamonds shining despite the moments of struggle that came. One of the greatest blessings is to be able to walk together with God and a helpmate who is on the same spiritual journey of discovery and growth, a journey that does not end at death. If I can become inseparable from a spouse in a few short decades because our love has only grown deeper, how much more wondrous can it become when not limited by only this short lifespan? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles and essays, as well as links to books by the author, at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.